Greetings in Jesus' name. It's a blessing to be with you this morning. It's been some time since I've been here. We had a nice time traveling over here, my wife and two of my youngest daughters. Our family feels a little scattered this morning. Our son is in Ukraine right now for a little mission trip, 6 weeks, and we have a daughter in Pennsylvania that's teaching school there, and we have two daughters in Bible school right now over here in Nyanga, and we have one daughter at home. So it's my wife and I and two daughters here. Well, I'd like to just begin with a continued thought, in a sense. I appreciated the day so far and appreciated the devotional this morning. And I actually have a message that I preached at home just two Sundays before the election. And so it's kind of geared to that as well. And so I trust that, you know, I think Brother Gerald Miller, I believe was the one who was a superintendent, said something about it's all about the kingdom of God. And that's exactly right this morning, brothers and sisters, about the kingdom of God. And there is true. There is a lot of confusion. There's a lot of chaos in our world today. And there's just a lot of mixed things. And it seems very uncertain as we look around us. But we have a kingdom that I trust that all of us are part of. A kingdom that will stand forever. The Bible tells us time and again, it's a kingdom that shall never be moved. And we're in that kingdom. We can be a part of that kingdom. And the reason that it is because the king of that kingdom is Jesus Christ. He is the ultimate King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so we can be so thankful that God has a kingdom that we can be a part of. Turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 2. I'd like to just read this before we go on, just for a start here. And I didn't ask Brother Steve when I was supposed to close. So I trust I can close in time. I'd like to just read most of the chapter of 2 Peter 2. This morning we'd like to think about the kingdom of God. And what is the kingdom, and what is the gospel of the kingdom, and so on. And I find it interesting that Peter in verse 25 in chapter 1 here talks about that he was preaching the gospel. I believe Peter was preaching the gospel of the kingdom. And later on we'll see how Jesus was preaching the gospel of the kingdom as well. Maybe for the sake of time, let's just begin at verse 5. He also has lively stones or built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, "Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient unto whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but now are the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which were against the soul." having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors, unto them that are sent by him, for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of him that do well. For so it is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish man, as free, not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Now let's drop to verse 21. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that you should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, he reviled not again, and when he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For we were a sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the bishop, and to the shepherd and bishop of your souls. This morning I've entitled the message, A Kingdom Not of This World. A Kingdom Not of This World. And I preached this message two months ago or so, and I think I've followed up on the fourth message since. And I'd like to continue that thought of the kingdom of God in a few more messages at home. A kingdom not of this world. I don't know how it is with you here, but it's something that was on my mind for some time, and through a lot of some reading and input on other men, it just blessed me, and so that message. This message comes from. Certainly not from me. It's something that we don't talk about much, as in a message, and that's about voting or not voting and so on. And this morning, I don't plan to answer the question, should Christians vote or shouldn't they vote, as in particularly answering that question. Oh, we could probably give an answer. We could give a four-word sentence, six or whatever. But I don't think we would understand, and I don't think the world around us would understand if we would give them only that as why we don't vote. And so it's probably not going to help the world that much in talking about that. This morning, because they are people who stumble at the word, as we read. They don't understand, and they will stumble at the word. But we who have obeyed and have the mercy of God upon our lives, I trust we understand the kingdom of Christ, the kingdom of God. And so I think we will do better by answering those questions as we understand the true meaning of the kingdom of God and its mission. I think we need to understand that, and then I think the Spirit can tell us how involved we need to be political with our society around us. I think that question will become clear to us as we understand Christ's kingdom and its mission. It will help us to understand how we need to relate to the politics in our day, in our country. We understand the two kingdom concept. We understand the kingdom of light, the kingdom of darkness. We understand the kingdom of Christ, the kingdom of Satan. We could say more about that, but sometimes I think us as a group of people, as conservative Mennonites, if you please, I think we get, or as not just us, but our heritage, our where we come from, I think sometimes we're a little foggy on wherein do the kingdoms of the earth or the kingdoms of the world come into? Which kingdom are they in? Which camp are they in? Well, I think as we look at the word, it's very obvious, or it comes clear to us. Are the kingdoms of the world bad? Are they good? Are they right? Are they wrong? Well, again, understanding the gospel of the kingdom of Christ. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, verse 23. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sicknesses and all manner of disease among the people. And then we have a verse in Mark, pretty much the same, Mark 1:14. Now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom. What is the gospel of the kingdom? Jesus went throughout everywhere he went and he taught the gospel of the kingdom. And I find that interesting. Jesus was preaching the gospel of the kingdom. What is the gospel of the kingdom? What do we understand about the gospel of the kingdom? If all that we understand about the gospel of the kingdom, that Jesus came to earth to die on the cross, shed his blood, to save our souls, so that we don't have to go, so we can go to heaven and don't have to go to hell, we don't understand the full gospel of the kingdom. We understand part of it. Yes, that's reality. That's true. But that's only part of the gospel of the kingdom. That's not all of the gospel of the kingdom. That's not, Jesus wasn't even referring to that when he was talking here about preaching about the gospel of the kingdom. He was referring to all his teachings, and the primary thing he was talking about was about, and we might think about that later, I'm not sure, but was talking about the things he was teaching, especially the Sermon on the Mount. That was the gospel of the kingdom. That's what Jesus was primarily referring to here. Excuse me. You know, it's been revolutionary for me, I guess you could almost say, as I studied this and as I listened to other men, and John D. Martin was one of them, and Dean Taylor, which I've appreciated so much for so many years. I got a hold of his book, A Change of Allegiance, back 10 years or more ago, the first time we had Bible school in Oklahoma, and I taught non-resistance, and I tell you, that book clenched it for me. It makes someone who's a little iffy about non-resistance come out knowing clearly what scriptures teach and how to live, to deal with that. But you know, we came through an era of time, and John D. Martin says this, that I came through just a tail, I'd say more the end of that era of time, when basically all you heard, and my own bishop where I grew up was one of the prominent evangelists in Plain communities, and he went around in Amish communities in Ohio and Indiana and so on, Dave Miller, Some of you might have heard that name, some older ones. I think Byler back here knows who that is. Sorry, I can't think of your first name right now. Is it Dan? Yeah. I'm not saying that that was wrong, but I think we were getting only part of the gospel. We saw many people get saved, but it seemed like they lost out. And to John Dee says that to understand, and he did a survey one time. He teaches a lot. He did a survey with young people, and he asked them why they would want to become, or why they became saved. Well, he said, they answer a little bit different way, but all the same thought, so I can go to heaven and I don't have to go to hell. Not one of his students says, so I can serve in the kingdom of God and be a builder in the kingdom of God and to do and to walk, follow Jesus, do the things that he taught. Not one of them said that. And so we have a lot of young people who, if they're saved here and there's nothing to do till 50 years later when they die to go to heaven, the gap was too long. They don't have anything to work for, to labor for. Or, you know, God has made us to serve. Really, he has. Now, many of us think, no, I don't want to serve. But God really did make us to serve. And if we don't understand how to serve in the kingdom of God, because these things are realities with us, and we don't know how to deal with the things that face us, there's someone else out there which comes from the kingdom of darkness that's going to get our attention. We're going to serve him. We just serve one master or the other. You cannot serve one or the other. You cannot have dualism in your life. And so we must serve one king, Jesus, which is king of our kingdom. And we are citizens. Kingdom itself gives the idea of a society. We are a society, a citizens of our kingdom, Christ's kingdom. Well, I'm kind of getting ahead of myself. Let's go to, you see, Jesus said he came to preach the kingdom of heaven. We talked a little bit about what that was. And so the kingdom, Jesus came, you know, throughout life of being here, you know, it's not an earthly kingdom. Yes, that's true. Jesus didn't come to set up an earthly kingdom, but he came to set up a kingdom on earth. Right here this morning, that you are in this kingdom and you walk, you are part of that kingdom. Jesus came to set up a kingdom on earth. That's the gospel that he wanted to convey to the people. I am coming to set up a new kingdom on earth. A kingdom that you can be saved. The saved part is only the beginning of knowing the kingdom of Christ, or the kingdom of the gospel of the kingdom. It's to draw us in to a kingdom with citizens, with others, and we are together. We're working out the kingdom of God on earth. We don't wait to get in the kingdom of God till we get to heaven. Now, Matthew uses the kingdom of heaven. All the other gospels use the kingdom of God. And I just recently found out, that's kind of a side note, but why the scriptures use that. This man that was saying this was that Matthew, the reason it says kingdom of heaven instead of kingdom of God, I knew they were interchangeable. They meant the same thing. It's not talking about the kingdom of heaven over there. It's talking about a kingdom on earth that God has come to set up. But the reason he uses the different word, heaven and God, is because Matthew was written to the Jews. And the other gospels were written to the Greeks. And the Jews didn't. God was so, in their mind, was so holy, so far out there, they didn't dare to use his name. But Matthew knew they used heaven. They could associate with that. But they wouldn't say the word God. They just wouldn't say it. They wouldn't. So that's why he says that. And if that's It makes sense to me, but maybe that's not exactly true, but I think he has a valid point. Well, if we say the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven, we mean the same thing this morning. Well, I'm going to run away. John 17. John 17, 4, I'll just quote that, says that, and Jesus is saying this, and John 17 is such a beautiful, it's such a beautiful chapter, such a precious chapter, just before Jesus goes to the cross. And in John 16, what are the last three words that Jesus said before he, on his sacrificial death, before he died on the cross? What are the last three words he said? It is finished. He says that in John 16. Then in John 17, he says, I have finished the work that thou gavest me to do. And what does that mean? What we were talking about. Most people think when you say that, it means I have finished. Relate that with his last three words, which I think it includes that. But I think it includes what we were talking about. The work, the things that he did, the things that he taught, the life that he lived. It said in Peter, we read, Christ was an example for us to follow in this kingdom. Our king, we can follow to the highest degree. We will never be let down. He's a king that is the shepherd and the bishop of our souls. That means we surrender and we submit to this king, that we bow to this king. We don't bow to the kings of the earth. Daniel, we could go back to Daniel. That's what I was going to go to. Daniel 2:44, it says that all the other kingdoms of the nations are going to be destroyed, but my kingdom will be established forever. It's never going to be destroyed. And then before that, in 35 and 36 verse in Daniel 2, it says that at that time, there's going to be a great stone that's going to come out of nowhere with hands have not made and going to crush all the other kingdoms of the world. Aren't you glad that we can be a part of a kingdom that is never going to be crushed? It's never going to have violence. It's a kingdom that lives the way Jesus does. And then in our opening scripture, we read that we are peculiar. We are to show forth the praise of him. That's our mission. And that's going to be, if we follow Jesus, we live what he lived, we preach what he preached, we practice what he practiced. That's going to show, and we could go back to our history and our grassroots. And that's what brought people, our Anabaptist forefathers, that's what brought people into the kingdom, because they served a king that they knew was not going to be destroyed. It's a king, and they follow a king. And they knew the other kingdoms of the world are going to be destroyed, but their kingdom is not going to be destroyed. And by them, they didn't necessarily go out and preach, but by the way that they gave their lives to this king, and they died for their faith, is what draw thousands into this kingdom. I love when Isaiah prophesies of that. He says, many shall come because those who have suffered, those who have died and given their life, is going to draw them in. In fact, the Colosseums where they would kill them, and even in the early church, I believe this was, or the places they would kill them, they would say, we can't kill them outside, because the more we kill, the more come into the kingdom of God. We're going to have to kill them inside so they don't see it. The response of these people, the countenance on their faces and their songs and their prayers to God as they died for their king. Yes, we are ambassadors. We are soldiers for a king, that we can die for our nation, for our kingdom that we're a part of. You know, this new kingdom that Jesus taught about is a kingdom that is upside to the world around us. It's upside down. But to us who are saved and come to the knowledge of the truth and understand the kingdom and have received the mercy of God and we have surrendered to our King, we understand it's a kingdom that's right side up. It's a kingdom. Let's go to John 18 now. John 18, I'd like to read 33 to 37. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, Art thou the King of the Jews? Jesus answered him, Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell thee of me? Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Every one that heareth the truth heareth my voice. We hear the voice of our King. We're in that kingdom that God has, that Jesus came to set up, that God has allowed through his Son Jesus to come and to give us. Jesus, yes, he's a king, and there's no other king beside him. He's a king. He's the only king that we want to follow. Jesus is chiefest of kings. He's a king of all kings. And you and I ought to be grateful to God and thank him every day that he has come and made it possible. You know, the blood of Jesus only made it possible that we can just enter that kingdom and then serve God the rest of our life. We ought to thank God for that. He's a precious stone to them who believe. Well, when Jesus, I find it interesting when you look at Jesus' life and what he did on earth and when he came and so on. Jesus didn't come to set the politics of the world straight around him. No, he didn't. He came to set up his own kingdom, a godly kingdom. A better kingdom. Yes, Jesus came not to set the politics straight of the day. No, he didn't. In fact, he came in a horrible time when the politics were horrible. We think they're bad today. They are. They may get as bad as they were here, but I don't think they're as bad in our country as they were in his day. And he said no. Render to Caesar what's Caesar's, and to God's what's God. They were being taxed. They were being cruelly used. It was a horrible environment. God, Jesus didn't preach to them. He didn't come to set up their kingdom. Jesus didn't come to reform the kingdoms of the earth. He came to set up a new kingdom. It has never worked in past history, and it will never work for God's people to try to set the politics of the day straight. It never has, it never will. Jesus is very clear about that. And that's exactly, we can take the lesson from Ulrich Zwingli back in 1523, 22, 3, 4, in there. I believe that Zwingli was actually a man who really came to the light through Martin Luther. Through Luther, but he came to the light, and he actually came to the light, and he embraced the scriptures, and they studied the scriptures, and Felix Mons and Conrad Grebel and some of those were in his class, and he was actually their teacher, and they would study the scriptures together. But Zwingli got involved in in more of Lutheran's way of thinking of reforming the church, the Catholic Church, reforming it. And so Zwingli got more involved with the city council and so on, and tried to balance this thing out. Well, they need to listen to us, and the city council needs to listen to us, and surely we can work this thing out, come to an agreement, and so on. He did that for several years, back and forth. He was unstable. He was, and finally his followers said he's a false leader. We can't follow him. Because he would side one way and then side the other way. And he got more and more involved till he actually bent so low that he got to be the highest prominent man in the council. And we could, there's a lot of things there. But he ends up later in years. Jesus' words true again. Those who take, and that's where the Protestant form came out of. Those who take the sword shall perish by the sword. He died in battlefield with the Catholics, the Protestants and Catholics, and Zwingli died in the battlefield. That's sad. And don't think that that's too far removed. We just had Chester Weaver with us last weekend for 3 days and was not half long enough. But, there's a terrible history in our own, not so far away, and back in the time when our brother was talking about the bomb, I believe that's pretty much the time, but in the World War II, in 42, the Mennonites who stayed in Prussian and Russia, and I believe Prussia and Russia at least, bowed to Hitler. It took 100 years for them to totally lose their non-resistance. But by the time the war came, they bowed to Hitler. And they were killers of the Jews. They killed them. They allowed them to set up their gas chambers in their own farms, their own homesteads. But that thing turned on them. When that was all over, not very many years, just a year or two, few years, they came back and they those Mennonites suffered so much persecution. We cannot afford to bow to the kings of the earth. We cannot afford to be involved politically. And it just comes to my mind. In our day, it's just a burden for me to not be involved. And maybe you don't have a problem with that. But with our new technology at the tips of our finger, it is so easy to read all that news media trash. And I don't know if half of it is even valid. But let's not fill our minds with those things. And that's what makes people fearful. I appreciated what my brother said. Just back off. Stay away from that. In fact, I did before, some time ago, this fall. I went on a fast. I get too involved. I'll confess that. I like to know what's going on, but I get too involved. That's not for us people. We need to get involved in the kingdom of God. And as our brother, I think, read in Daniel there, where we're going to be the brightness of the stars for the world. That's the kingdom. John D. Martin says that we need to be so citizens of our kingdom on earth that we show the whole world what for kingdom would be like if everyone would follow Jesus. You know, it would be heaven on earth if everyone joined into the kingdom of God and would follow him on earth. There would be no wars. There would be no killing. There would be no injustice. There would be all peace. And I preached a message, I think just the one before the last one I preached at home. And it entered in with what Steve was saying about people who carry guns and people who are fearful. Do you know that they actually took a, not a census, I don't want to say, but they took, can't think of the word I want, but they evaluated people who were attacked with guns this kind of thing. Those who did not carry guns, those who didn't have guns, like to fight back with guns, those who carried guns, like let's say, always this hypothetical thing comes in. What would you do if someone would come into your family and would kill and so on? Would you take your gun and try to protect yourself? Well, statistics show us that the percentage to get out of being hurt or killed is far greater if you don't have a weapon than if you do. I found that interesting. That was out there, not taken from our people, but they even recognize that it's a higher chance to live if you don't have a weapon than if you do. And we got stories, and I love those stories, and I related to those stories. And there were even more stories afterwards and testimony that happened right in our community that just validify the words of Jesus. If you take the sword, you're going to perish by the sword. Anyway, that's... Well, so we have examples of like Zwingli and the Mennonites who gave in to those things. John 18, verse 36 again. I'd like to bring out this point. You see, Jesus came to set up, like I said a number of times, to set up a new kingdom. He came to set up a kingdom that is transformed, not reformed. Transformed. Citizens who are transformed by the blood of Jesus Christ and who are part of that kingdom on earth. John 18:36. As we think of this, just think with me that there has never been a president or a king on earth. Other parts of the countries, they call them different things. But if you think with me, I don't think that we would ever find a king that doesn't express or didn't do or doesn't think counter to the things that Jesus taught for his kingdom. I don't think there ever was. I don't think there ever will be, because they're two different kingdoms. We must keep that in mind. And I'm appalled of how many people, we would call them conservative people, who are losing that concept of the two kingdom concept. And we must have that concept deep rooted in our hearts and our lives. We must understand Jesus and his kingdom so we can understand that two kingdom concept. And that must be rooted deep in our lives, or we're going to be pulled into the politics of the world, to their kingdom. And we're going to side with them. And I think Matthew Mellon said like this. He said, if people, and the reason it was so on my mind is because we had, and I don't know the number, but there were thousands, I think 250,000, well, I don't think they know, but that number I heard. But there were so many more votes than normal, and large part of that, well, I say a large part, a number of that was because there were Amish people and Mennonite people who voted this time who've never voted before. They fell into that pressure. Trump must be our king. No, friends, no. No, that's out there. God is clear that he sets up and he puts up and he sets down and he puts up who he wills. He has, and I think I wrote that verse down here somewhere, but in Proverbs it gives it. The hand of the king... The king is in the hand of the Lord, and he turneth it whithersoever he will as the waters. That's not the exact words, but that's the meaning. And so I think God turned the waters 4 years ago, and I think he probably is again. We just want to leave those things to the kings of the world, And Timothy gives us, and I gave a message. We need to respect, and we need to live in. We read the scripture in the beginning. Honor the king. That means honor the king of the earth. We need to live in that. There's a whole part of that too, that we can rightly live as we're living in the kingdom of God. How we respond to that makes a huge difference. And well, we don't have time to go into any of that. And so think with me, Jesus gives right here in verse 36, if my kingdom were this world, then would my servants fight? Did the two nominees who were running to be presidents at this time, did they fight? I think they did. You don't have to fight with guns to fight. And you know, that's a lot of times where just comes to my mind, and just maybe a thought of encouragement. We don't carry guns, do we? Let's not fight otherwise either. Fighting is not allowed in the kingdom of Jesus. All he taught was love. Now, love carries a broad platform, but all he taught was love. From those bases, and then we live off of that foundation of love. And so, what another thing about self-promotion? Jesus read in the Sermon on the Mount and said, no. That's the way of the Gentiles. Who wants to be the greatest is a servant of all. That's the kingdom of Jesus Christ. The kingdoms of the world don't know anything about that. All is self-promotion, the greatest. Well, that doesn't fit in this kingdom either. So we can't be a part of that. There's other things. We could mention a number of them, but another one is just simply making claims that they probably know themselves that the king ever carry out, but to run, they make claims. No, Jesus said, yea, yea, nay, nay. Yes, I will. No, I won't. That doesn't fit, and so that part doesn't fit either. Well, we could continue on, but we're going to close with one scripture. Turn with me to Revelation, beautiful scripture. Revelation chapter 6. Revelation 14:17. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places, and the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man hid themselves in dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Not a one is going to be able to stand unless they're in the kingdom of God, and Jesus is their king. We shall stand. Amen.